Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Dr. Betty Speaks, and I am your lifetime imprint leader. I am extremely passionate about empowering individuals to resurrect and establish themselves through the four components of life, and that is spiritual growth, financial literacy, personal and professional development. I am that chosen warrior who inspires others to create an imprint that will live on long after they are gone. I hold virtual group and family workshops on leaving an imprint. I will help you understand the importance of rising above your life encounters and how you shall start facilitating simple things into your lives just by getting rid of the stress that plagues our nations today. So thank you for tuning in to Overcoming Battles by Being Strong and Courageous this Wednesday. This is that intentional, motivational plus inspirational show that is filled with wisdom that will awaken your hope, ambition, faith, and inner strength, plus cover a variety of genuine life-changing topics designed to encourage listeners that are worldwide. That's right, worldwide, with the knowledge that strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming the things you once thought you couldn't. So thank you again for tuning in with us this Wednesday. You'll be listening to Nothing But Stone Cold Truth. So if you're lacking motivation right now, to the point that is keeping you stuck in your life, the only person standing in your way is you. Yes. So I have a phenomenal guest with me. I know I tell you that every week, but listen, this young man has amazing, amazing kids in his life. And this month we're talking about daddy's daughters and daddy's sons, or sons of fathers and things of that nature, because it's Father's Day month. And I have a man that to me is a phenomenal father. And I love, 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 loving him, his phenomenal children. And I'm going to move out of the way so I can allow him to introduce himself and tell you what it is that he does. And then we're going to start talking to him about being a daddy's daughter. Guest, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, Dr. Peace. Hello, everybody out there in audio land or video land, however you are actually seeing this this podcast today. I'm none other than Mark Tate, and everybody calls me Tate, so you can call me Tate for short, because I feel like we're all family, so we don't need to be formal. Yes, we're addressing today Father's Day, but really, it's not just one day, because when you're a father, it's not just one day or one month or 1 year. You're a father until the day that you die. And I celebrate Father's Day every single day, whether I'm doing fatherly things or not. That's something we have to get away from, just celebrating just one day out of the whole year. We got 300 and something days, and you're just going to celebrate just one day. Do something special for your father, father figure, if you have one in your life. Talk to them, just something simple. Just text them or send them an email. Let them know. We just like simple things that people are caring about us enough to see that we're still breathing out there. So, Dr. Speech, you got any questions for me? Do you want me to just go ahead, kind of go ahead into it?
You know, Mr. Tate, is great. I so appreciate you adding every day is Father's Day. It's not just one day. And that is so key to our listeners that are out there. Even if you are blessed to have just a mom and your father is not even engaging in your life, you know, you don't have to stop there. If he's not engaging by choice, you can engage by choice. And then you can acknowledge your mom for doing the daddy's things as well. But I want to ask Mr. Tate our very first question today, because we're talking about daddy's daughters. And a lot of men have, you know, if they have that little girl, oh my goodness, that is priceless. You know, to give birth to a girl, most of us feel like we feel so honored to be a daddy's daughter. So I want to get his definition of what a daddy's daughter is to him.
So my definition of that, I was always told whatever you don't like will end up in your family. So I had a pretty rough upcoming. And, you know, we all got a pass. I was out there in the world with women and stuff like that. And lo and behold, what comes along is a girl. Now, I had to change and do things differently because you realize at some point, do you want somebody else doing your daughter like you're doing these women out here, et cetera, et cetera? And the answer was no. And kids start learning at an early age. So if you're bringing your kids around strange people, and I recommend everybody out there, if you're seeing somebody or if you're courting somebody before you end up in court, do a background check on the people that you're talking to. Mm-hmm. I think some of them are free out there. This is just general great information out there. Kind of find out who you're dealing with and who you're bringing around your kids and in your household, because you just never know. Child trafficking, child pornography, these things are still real out here. And to add bonus to that, we still have organ harvesting going on out here, if not all three of those. And we're always saying that'll never happen to me. This is on TV. This is somewhere across the country or somewhere around the world. But what happens when it's somebody that you do know or when it hits close to home? And I had several of those things actually happen to me and my family. And I was, you know, skeptical. I was a spectator at some point until one day me and my family, including my daughter, we became victims. So when it comes to my ideal of a daddy's daughter, I think we have to instill the things in her that she needs to know about men in general. And I've been told that a woman's or a young lady or a tween, her relationship with her future man or men is going to be based solely on her relationship with the father figure that was in her life. Okay. Anybody can be a daddy. It takes a lot to be, you know, a father, you know what I mean? And I'm honored to be called that. But I tell my kids, and particularly my youngest daughter, I tell her that I'm not your friend. So if you're hearing it from me, imagine how the rest of the world is. I do have one job here, and that's to be a father. And if you don't hate me at least once in your lifetime, I'm not doing my job. To me, friends tell you what you want to hear versus family tell you what you need to hear. So that's kind of the spectrum I follow, the pattern, the footprint I follow when it comes to actually dealing with kids, particularly the girls in my family. And, you know, I got one older daughter. She understands that now, and she's grateful for the teaching. But with technology and all these things out here, you can be anywhere in the world you want to be at any given time by just going on the internet. So these kids are being exposed to things that we were never exposed to. We heard about them, you know, behind closed doors. I mean, but now they're cursing on television. They're showing people being gunned down on television. All the stuff that was taboo, you know, 15, 20 years ago, now it's in your face. So I teach my kids about being aware, especially girls. Don't ever get too comfortable out here. Let your guard down, because they're out here. They're watching, and it may be several turns. And it could be the guy walking in the gas station. You talk to him once a week to speak to you. They could be scoping you out, plotting the next move. And all of a sudden, he, quote unquote, has a flat tire, and he asks for help, and then he snags you up. And then we don't see you no more. You know, these things are real. There was a girl that was killed in Columbia. I got a call from New Jersey, and somebody went all the way up to New Jersey and kidnapped this 15-year-old girl. And it was supposedly a gang warlord or something like that. But this father came all the way down from New Jersey, and they stayed in Columbia, and they went neighborhood to neighborhood, following up every lead, looking for this guy and his daughter. And then one day, and put up an award and everything. Then one day he gets that fatal phone call that his 15-year-old daughter was found dead in a shallow grave.
Jesus. Life
gone that quick. And that wasn't that long ago. This happened this month. So,
wow. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem. You know, that's why I teach my kids, you know, hand-to-hand combat and safety techniques and stuff like that. Evasive techniques. You're not bulletproof. You're not Superman or Superwoman. These things are fictional. Real Supermen and Superwomen don't have capes and masks on. They're the people that you see every single day that's willing to put their life on the line so that you may have a better life. And as a father, I've sacrificed so much so that my kids could have a better life. And yet some people don't understand that. But the tools that I'm embracing you with, one day you'll be able to look back and say, this is what my father was teaching me. And he was teaching me in a way that was unconditional, that even though I didn't think I was learning, I was still learning. And yet there it is. So that speaks.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. So you said that's your definition of a daddy's daughter. I appreciate your answer and some of the stories that you shared in that answer. And honestly, one of my biggest takeaway from your comment is that friends and families are different, and your friends will tell you what you want to hear, but your family is going to tell you what you need to hear. And that is a great takeaway, because that's what a friend, you know, normally that friend should be the one that's going to tell you the truth, and then be conscious of what your family, especially your father, is telling you. Be mindful of what he's saying to you and the reason why. So that's a true friend. That's what a true friend would do. And then you also mentioned that things were taboo back in the day, you know, but now things are visible as a result of everything being on the medias. So they're not, it's like everything is open now. And we're not sure if it's for ratings purposes or what, but the things that were taboo yesterday are so relevant today and so visible. So as a daddy's daughter, your definition is definitely to shy them away from those things, try to protect them from them. And if you can't shy them away, you want to educate them on the reality of the things that they are exposed to on the medias that we have in today's world. So I do appreciate those answers. Now next, you know, and because I know you personally and I know your daughter personally, this is like my favorite question here for you. I want you to describe your features in your daughter to the world. You know, what features are there? Go ahead and say all of them.
Okay, so I've been told, I haven't actually, you know, sat side by side with her and actually looked in the mirror, but I'm being told that my daughter is me with hair. She's a more prettier version, if you want to ask me personally, but one of her greatest features, I think, we're so much alike. I'm going to go with her. She thinks kind of like me. So a lot of things that would bother me bothers her. And so we have a short tolerance for, you know, nonsense. So she will often kind of arch her eyebrows or kind of close her eyes partially, kind of look at you, kind of give you that crazy look, like almost as if we're looking for the words physically coming out your mouth to help correct what you just said that was kind of off into space or another land. So she kind of gets that from me. She don't have my height, but what she lacks in actual physical stature, she has a mental and spiritual stature. Her energy announces her presence before she gets there, to the point where she can walk into a room as I don't care if I just met these people 2 seconds ago, it'd be like I've known them my whole life, to the point where I've actually sat down and eaten at your table. So that's the type of energy she gives off. And a lot of people would not know that she's 16, but mistake her for probably 18 or even older based on her maturity level. But I tell her, you know, stay in a child's place as long as possible, because the shortest period of a life is spent in childhood. You're only a child from 1 to 12. You're a teenager from 13 to 18. And for the rest of your life, if you're a woman or a lady, you're an adult. I mean, so you spend the rest of your life, the biggest part of your life, if you have that life, you're spent as an adult. So we're having kids being taken out of their innocence by the clothing that they're wearing, the music, the television programming, even the food that they're eating it's all suspect because you got young ladies having to shop at adult stores because they can't fit the clothes that you would have in a young missus stores because the food processing is starting to process our young girls into women. So they have bodies of women, but they still have the mind and mentality of a little girl. And there's a problem with that. So as fathers, we have to try to step in there and intervene. And believe it or not, you know, I did things that were kind of unorthodox. You know, when I was buying her, you know, undergarments, I would get like Mickey Mouse and stuff like that on purpose. Because, if you can't, you know, hopefully whoever's trying to touch you or something like that, they will see that you got Mickey Mouse on it. Okay, this is a little girl right there, hopefully. But like I said, you got so many perverts out here, it doesn't matter. And not just men now, there's women out here also. The people that you're looking up to, your pastors, your teachers, are often the ones. There's always somebody you know, seems like. It's never like a stranger. It's always somebody that you know. And even extended family members. So it's a lot that comes at you that you have to learn. And if we're not going to do the job of teaching them in the household first, because the house is the teachers first, if we're not going to do it, then who else?
Yes, I appreciate that. And again, that question, I tell you, as he describes the features that he and his daughter, they have in common, and he knows his daughter a lot better than I do personally. But to see them when I first met him, I was like, oh my goodness, OMG. That is definitely your father. He can't even go to the judge and say, he can't get on the Jerry Springer show. How's that? You know, Amar Pervin, whoever is going to say, you are the father of this child. He is, indeed. And I love the fact that you said, you too acknowledge your facial expressions. And in expressions, he went into detail, sharing with us what those features are at times. You know, one of the key things he said is the energy, and his daughter's energy announces her presence. Honestly, it does. Her energy announces her presence. I remember the first time I met her and I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk to that little girl. I cannot, her presence, her energy, her spirit, it is not where I am in my life right now. And then one day she came around and she spoke to me. I almost hit the ground. I was like, that little girl just spoke to me. And she was so, she's as small as she is today. She hasn't, I don't think she's actually grown in height wise since I met her. Oh, wow, it's been almost 4 years now. But he is so right when you talk about her energy, and you have to know her to understand her energy. It's the reason it announces her is because she's putting her guards up. She wants to scan the room, scan where she is, and zoom in on her comfort area. And I'm not mad about that, because a lot of kids don't do that. They don't scan their room. They don't scan their perimeter, is what we would say in the military. But this young lady does. And I love the fact that he know this about his daughter, that her energy announces itself in the presence of her being. And that is so key for you daddies out there to know about your daughter. You need to know what happens when she enters an area, whether it's a known area or an unknown area. You need to be able to identify what will make her feel comfortable and uncomfortable. So Mr. Tate knows that about his daughter. And like I said before, those facial expressions, they have the exact same eyes. He's right. If she were to shave her head, they would be a set of twins, honestly. The only difference is he's taller than his daughter, which is a good thing, because if they were the same height, you know, all he would have to do is grow some hair and they would be identical twins. So I'm going to leave that alone. But I tell you, these two, this is definitely a set of daddy's daughter. And he told you about He says, I was out there. I was doing some things that I should not have been doing, maybe, but when a little girl came around, it's like, let me stop. I gotta change. This is a game changer now. Cause some of the things that I did with other women, I don't want no one doing with my daughter. And we're gonna come to that question real soon because he's jumped ahead of me on some of the questions. This one, the next question I have for him, which is another important question. Like I said, I know Mr. Tate, I know his children. So I know he's doing this. What morals and values are you leading your daughter? And he has a son also. So I don't mind him talking about his son, although this is like daddy's daughter's day. But what morals and values are you leading your daughter or your son into? Because I've seen him do some things. I've seen him make videos. I've seen I've seen you know things that he does at home in his neighborhood. But yeah, I'm gonna let you answer that question briefly because the next question is what I want. I'm ready to get to.
Okay, so try to sum this one up. Values. I teach responsibility. People often call it surrendering when you apologize because we do it so naturally. If I step on your shoe, I'm like, I'm sorry. And it may come off as, you know, they're not being genuine about it. But, you know, if you look at the cycle of depression and stuff like that, one of the bars on that starts out is accepting your responsibility. So if you do something wrong, accept your responsibility, then try to correct it and then caution yourself so it doesn't happen again. So I've always been upfront with my kids. I've never hidden anything from them. You know, I've showed them about weapons and stuff like that. I don't hide these things from them because I think the curiosity in a child, because kids learn differently from adults. You know, they're putting stuff in their mouth. They're learning with their hands, et cetera, et cetera. And the more you keep it from them, the more curiosity kicks in. And then you have accidents or you have a child that's put themselves in an adult position or even they're challenging the person that feeds them and puts a roof over their head. And so you don't have an order of direction. And that's one of the things I taught my kids, that there is an order of direction, you know, this chain of command, so to speak. But when you're out and about in the world, you're in charge of yourself. So not only are you representing your family, you're representing yourself. What legacy do you want to leave behind? Because every mistake could come back and haunt you. And whether it be a picture that you put on the internet, whether it be a place that you shouldn't have been, whether it be a lie that you told or something that you've taken by accident, so to speak, all these things can come back to haunt you. And I believe everybody deserves a second chance, but see, society doesn't see it that way, you know? And so you have to be real careful and, you know, just kind of do things a little different. So I taught my kids that. Hope that summed everything up for you.
Yes, I think I honestly love everything you said. And like I said to our audience, the thing what I love most about you being a dad is that I remember being a daughter growing up and I had two sets of parents. And I share this with your kids too, that I too had two sets of parents. And the thing is that my mom's husband, which was my stepfather, which is a step up. People think that step parents are step downs, but honestly, they're steps ups. And so we did the gardening, you know, my father was a gardener and he taught biblical talks by being a gardener. So he taught us values and morals as we were out there planting seeds and seeing what the seed would turn into, you know, and it was like, oh my goodness, it's hot out here. We got to do this. No other kids are doing it. But then we were the ones that always had food to eat, you know? We didn't have to worry about a lot of things because we grew it. And people were like, can we come over? Can we buy this? Can you guys share some of that? And I was like, sure, you can have a couple of watermelons. We got a whole field of them. Yeah, you can have a bunch of greens. But it was like, I have a small garden in my backyard today as I flash back and I think about spending time with my stepfather. That was like a step up for me in my life, because had it not been for him, I would not know anything about gardening and how to raise, you know, like watering, those little things that you learn by having someone in your life to instill those type of things into you. So that's, I look at you and I look at that type of life that you put there for your kids, for them to value later on in life. They may not think anything of it just yet, because I sure didn't. But then we talk about those things now, and then you even see it in the Bible, like Boaz, you know, how Boaz right. grew things, and Ruth were like picking from the outside of his buildings, you know, because they didn't have anything to eat. And it reminded me how people used to come by our house and ask for a bunch of I forget what you call it, but we had all kinds of greens, peas and corn and everything you can think of that we grew, and others wanted to come by and have some pickings from it. So I know you've done that for your kids as well as teach them other things. But this is a juicy question, Mr. Tate. What three things, and you've been all over this. You've mentioned this on several times. I mean, some of it, but it may not have been the answer you want to answer for this question. But yeah, the three things you would tell your daughter about those secret things that every man's daughter should know. It may be one.
sure. So the way life is set up with men in particular, you know, we do things with the end in mind. So when we start a project or start a conversation, we have an end goal in mind. So I know I have an ideal where I want to go with the situation. So if I offer you a job, I see you as a senior tech 5 to 6 years from now. And so what a lot of people don't realize, when you go out to a nightclub, so to speak, when a guy offers you a drink and he follows you around the club, he's not following you, so to speak. He's following his investment. And this investment is inside of your stomach. So you have to be, there's no such thing as a free meal. You know, we live in an age now where everybody wants to do, we're crossing most, different genres. People are pulling double weight. So you have moms being dads being moms, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, never get to the point where you are, you know, you're doing something that you don't feel comfortable doing. Don't never conform. You know, if this is who you are, be who you are, and don't let outside sources try to deter you from being that. So that's one example right there. The second example, that things that men generally don't tell their daughters, and I hate this, we don't really care for the boyfriends like that, but we're more open if the man, the young man, would come to us as a man, you know, literally knock on the door, call, or want to meet us and have a conversation with us. We're more open and more warm to that young man versus somebody sneaking in windows. Then we find out later on that our daughter's pregnant, and here we are, you know, you're part of the family now, and I just met you today. And I'm supposed to have open arms. And here we are. You got your seed in my daughter. And, you know, we don't believe in abortion. So, you know, we're kind of going through with the process. So being upfront with your father will take you a long way. And being upfront with your daughter will take you a long way. But remember, there's a line, you know. There's some things that we'll never do as father and daughter, or father and son. There's some things we're never going to do, because it has to be a distinction between, you know, child and parent. Mm-hmm. We're not going to the club and turn it up, nothing like that. I see these women out here who are turning up with their daughters and twerking and all that type of stuff. I can't get into that, because if you don't pay bills and stuff, it's like looking at you as an equal. So once again, I fall back on what I said prior about the order of the chain of command. So that's the second example. The third example will be money, okay? Everybody wants their own money. And like Dr. Speech said, I actually have a garden. And so we don't waste anything when it comes to my house. because we literally grow our food. So if you put seeds in the ground and see how hard it is, you know, you're less likely to waste it when it comes to the dinner table, especially if you have to go outside and pick the corn or the watermelon and stuff like that. But see, life is like a garden. You can put a seed in the ground all you want to. If it doesn't have the right ingredients in the right environment, it's not going to grow. Moreover, if you stand over the seed and talk to it and yell at it, it's not going to grow. It has to take time for it to see its better light. And when I was in court for child support, I beat child support. One of the things the judge said, do you have any pictures? And my lawyer said, pictures of what? And so I had to gather all the pictures I had up until that point of my kids. And we went to court with that, and it showed that I had been in my child's life from day one, like literally from the hospital cutting the umbilical cord up until that point. And that's one of the reasons why I beat the case. I've watched my seeds, my kids at this point, grow from little seedlings to full grown trees. And hopefully one day, if I live long enough, I'll be able to see these trees produce fruit. So that's my third example.
Oh my goodness. How powerful was that? I especially love the fact that you did the analogy with your kids being that seed. That was beautifully said. And I'm sure if you all didn't catch that, you're going to have to do a rewind or a replay, because that was a beautiful analogy, how he went from his garden, his, you know, earthly garden, into what he brought into the earth. That was me clapping behind the scenes. That was good. That was good. You know, for the sake of time, I'm trying to decipher which question I would like to ask next. But the thing is that you know your kids so well, and you just gave a beautiful analogy. What imprints would you like to be remembered by from your daughter? What's that thing that you want your daughters or your children, period, to always remember dad by?
That's a good one. I want my kids to remember that I always taught them to always shoot for the stars and never take no for an answer. Although being told no is the most common thing that one would encounter in their life, never take no for an answer and continue to push for the stars till one day you push past the stars and you become part of the next galaxy, the next universe, and the next star cluster. Be whoever and whatever you want to be, but put the required work in to be that point, get to that point, and hopefully you'll be able to be a legacy or a role model for somebody who's looking up to you. And it could be the kids in your classroom. It can be an adult. You can learn a lot from a child. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Jesus Christ was a child himself, and look at the impact he did. So you can learn a lot from a child. And you can almost tell that upbringing of that child by just talking to them and watching them, that they had a good family structure coming up. So yes, I tell them to shoot for the stars. That's the legacy I want to leave behind. It's not about me. It was always about them. Kids don't belong to us. We belong to them as parents. That makes sense to you? We're just renting them. We're a parent that rents them. Yes. So we're renting these kids to become young adults, and these same kids are going to be making laws and stuff for us in the future. So you want to take care of the kids now, so hopefully one day they'll be the one deciding if you go in a nursing home or they'll actually be the one, you know, feeding you. So that's kind of how I view things.
I love it. I so love it. He said, I'm just going to he said, even Jesus Christ began to be an example for others as a child. He started teaching and preaching from as a child. And this is the same legacy he wants his kids to remember. The imprint. Jesus Christ started leaving imprints when he was a child. And his kids have choices to make. They're just a gift to him. They're just that gift that was given to him but they have choices to make, and he wants to allow them to make the choice to reach for the stars so that they can be receive gifts as well and leave imprints for others to follow. That's what I heard. I mean, I'm telling you, I said we have another phenomenal guest with us today. This young man, Mr. Tate, he also is a business owner, an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. He has a phenomenal Facebook page that I just realized today. And I think you should check him out, see what he's doing. He's doing great things. I love the fact that he has a garden, and he used the analogy of his garden to what his kids are, what they mean to him in life today. So Mr. Tate, there's one other thing I would like for you to just share a little about how folks can connect with you on your Facebook page, and then talk just a little about your business. And then that last question, one of my other favorite questions was, what's your daughter's favorite food?
Okay. So I'm going to go over the favorite food first, and then I'm going to go into the business. That's the longer part of the conversation. My daughter's favorite food to me is chicken. She won't tell you that. She likes chicken. I don't care if it's chicken nuggets or chicken strips or baked chicken. She generally, she gravitates toward chicken. Mm-hmm. And
yes, exactly.
So she loves it. And last night she was actually at the house, or the night before last, and I happened to walk in, and she's chewing, she's smacking. And we have some leftover like Tropical Grill, right? And I don't know if you've ever been to Tropical Grill. I don't know if the listeners, where y'all listening from, if y'all have a Tropical mm-hmm. Grill, or it's like a fresh type of restaurant that caters, like a Brazilian restaurant almost, that caters to like, you know, fresher foods and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so one of their staples is like chicken breast has been cut up. It's almost like a salad almost. And you put your rice and your beans and you just kind of build your thing like that. So she comes in and she's smacking on it. And I said, man, did you get enough to eat? And she said, can you hear me chewing? So I heard you chewing outside. You eat like you're homeless. There's plenty of food to go around in here. So we just kind of, she said, oh my God. And she just kind of just joked and she kind of walked off hiding. But at the house, you should be able to be whoever you want to be at the house. You should be yourself. In public, you want to, you know, nibble on the food, eat like you eat at home. You know, if you smack it open, chew with your mouth open, eat like that. That's the most comfortable way you can be. I want you to be yourself at the house. So that's her favorite food. As far as my businesses go, you can reach me at www.teamtateamerica. You can also reach me at www.teamtatecanada@yahoo.com. We specialize in videography and photography and production work. We do jingles for commercials, movie scores. We do graphics arts production, and we're even into clothing. We're getting into that. So you can get your customized clothing, and you can find all this information about me online. As far as my handles on social media, you can type in either Team Tate Canada, all one word, or Team Tate America, all one word, and they'll take you right to my social media handles, and you can kind of see what we're doing. If you want to join the team, there's a spot on the websites where you can join. We are an equal opportunity employer, but if you do get on board, I hope you like traveling and meeting new people, because you're going to meet new people and people are going to meet you. I went from being a groupie and running up on stars to people coming up to me asking for my autograph. So we've met a lot of people in the mix. And so it's kind of like a normal. These people want to be treated like normal people. So now when we bump into quote unquote movie stars or musical artists, you know, I might speak to them. I may not necessarily even take a picture with them. They want to be treated normal. Like she said earlier about, you know, Michael Jackson, he's been in the limelight so long that he didn't have a childhood. He didn't even get to enjoy his life, so to speak, the very important part of his life, the childhood. And he spent the greater half of his adult life trying to relive a legacy that was never there, you know, from having the theme park on the property to having pet monkeys in the house. And so let your kids be, you know, be kids. And I think a little bit of child still exists in all of us deep down inside. I never forgot who I was. I may have gray hairs now, a little bit older, but I'm still a child at heart when it comes to doing things. So I do like to have fun. So one of our slogans with Team TED America is don't be history, become history. So each day you wake up, you do something differently, you're actually contributing to history. And tomorrow isn't promised. That's why today is called the present, because it's a gift. And last but not least, for Team TED Canada, our slogan is vision as what you see, vision, not the vision as in mathematics. So seeing the vision and not being divided when it comes to the vision. If everybody can be on one accord, imagine the things we can do. Thank y'all for y'all time. Dr. Speaks, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on as a guest.
You're very welcome. Listen, strong people are not simply born. They level up by sharing their imprints they've created throughout their life journey. I tell you, you've heard Mr. Tate here on our show today. I also have to share with you that strong people are not simply born, because they resurrect by sharing their imprints that they've generated throughout their life journey. So remember, strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming those things you once thought you couldn't. Thank you so much for tuning in with us every Wednesday to Overcoming Battles. This month has been an amazing month, and there are so many other guests that we will have on our show. If you loved or liked anything or didn't get to get Mr. Tate's information, you can leave a message. I look forward to hearing back from you as we're celebrating 1 year with over 52 podcasts, an amazing podcast, and from amazing guests. So tune in with us next Wednesday. Let us know what you thought of today's show, and contact us if you need to get any additional information concerning Mr. Tate and his business, what he's doing out there. Thank you so much again for tuning in.
Completely redesigned Bashani radio app is hotter than ever. Ever. Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.